I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I've got both an espresso and a mushroom hot cocoa. Mm. I have both because the espresso is gone within the first basically a minute, and then that leaves me cupless, drinkless rather, for the rest of the time. That's not acceptable. Not acceptable. Do you guys think it's weird that I talk about what I drink? Do you guys think I'm taking an informal poll, show of hands, for people who think that it's a little weird that I talk about what I drink every time I do an episode? I don't see any hands. All right. We're all good here. It's not the worst. I was thinking about the other day, like it's kind of weird in a, you know, self-reflective in a useless way, kind of way. Mm. I was like, why don't I talk about like what I'm drinking? Like, what does it, it doesn't matter. So maybe it's like a fetish. And if it is, it's pretty harmless. Wouldn't you guys say? Like, I could be worse. It could be worse. I'm okay being described as he just talks about like what he drinks, which is kind of weird. That's cool. One time when I was acting back in the day, I had a part on a show called ER, and I was had to dress up as a kangaroo. And the part was for a character that is has a fetish of dressing up like a stuffed animal kind of thing. And I thought that's got to be not, that's a character. It's a character in a show. But upon further investigation, found out that's a very real thing. They're called furries, people who have a fetish dressing up as stuffed animals. I was playing one of those. To me, that's a more, I'll just put, you're more committed to your fetish when that's your fetish versus me having a fetish with talking about what I'm drinking. I'm just saying you're going the distance in almost a respectful way. You're not, no halfway there. It's one of those things where you go, of course this is fiction. Like, of course this is fiction. Of course this character I'm playing is fiction. And I got a hand to the writers, like, for coming up with something so original and crazy that would never exist in, oh my gosh, it's not fiction. Not fiction at all. Mm. Apologies for my voice. I don't know what's happening. I took a trail run this morning with my son. Mm. 2 minutes in, my espresso's gone. 2 minutes in. There we go. So, yeah, good. I came down here and I set up my computer and my microphone. Just, I have a good setup, you guys. I'm not going to revisit this, but my studio is like, it's freaking good. If you follow me on YouTube, you can kind of see it. It's a plug in. I literally plug it in. I have it set up so nicely. I'm so happy about what's happening in my studio. It's so conducive to work. I don't go, I gotta set up the whole day. It's like I walk in, boom, boom, like done. Anyway, so I came down to do that and set up. I was all good. So I set up everything. I went upstairs and made the espresso and mushroom cocoa. Came back downstairs, about to hit play, and my alarm on my phone goes off. Sure enough, I've got a live Q&A for Small Steppers starting in 9 minutes. Like, I'd actually have one. And then I thought, well, crap. And I would have completely forgot. So thank goodness for the phone. I'm not anti-technology. You guys know that, right? I'm not anti-technology. I'm for using it in an intelligent, responsible fashion. And it's a battle I'm in, to be sure. Quitting all social media. Very helpful in that regard. But man, it's nice to have, you know, kind of had my phone with me and my alarm goes off. I'm like, why is my freaking alarm going off? Oh, because I have a freaking live Q&A. Two frickins in one sentence. Three. I mentioned last week that I was on a podcast called Fit Dad Fitness. Jiminy Christmas. Fit Dad Fitness Podcast. I did not have a link at that time. I do now. It's in the show notes. I think it's a good episode. So check it out, man. He's a really nice guy. And so there you go. Lives in Colorado. I said that like it meant anything, you know, relevant to anything that I'm talking about. Other than it's a fine state. Okay. I'm not dissing Colorado. It's great. I'll get there again. I've been there many times. Mm. My buddies, Jackson and Aaron of the Thought for Food podcast, which is not happening anymore. They kind of ripped off my last episode title name, but I'm not going to hold it against them, but I titled mine The End for the Approach to the National podcast. They did the exact same thing. They just blatantly ripped it off, and I've heard from neither of them, and I don't think they listen to this show. So I'm expecting some sort of handwritten card, not an email, guys, handwritten card with maybe like a $5 bill in it, just to say, we ripped off your show title. Okay. We ripped off your show title. Go get a drink and talk about it on your podcast. Patreon people, thank you. Got a new Patreon, not a new patron. Sorry, I'm not even good with the lingo. I got a new patron last week. Thank you very much. A few bucks a month, man. I'm telling you, it's huge. It's really good. You know what it is right now, like, and I'm not going to beat this dead horse, but I am deep in the music thing right now. I've got 10 songs ready. I am going down and working on them. I have a new album in my brain that is happening. I have no idea how I'm going to get it together. But the Patreon thing is helpful in just in general because it's helping me stay afloat. The money that you guys donate, even if literally $2-3 a month, is helpful. It helps me kind of stay afloat and then be able to jump from here to other things like doing a new album, which is really exciting. But also right now, you know, the podcast and the YouTube and just keeping me working, man. It's helping me working. It's removing the struggle part of it of like the, it's like, you know, this is like, we're all in the game. Is that vague enough? Oh, listen to that. You guys hear that? That's my, good God. I'm beholden to alarms, and I'm not even going to edit that out. I want you guys to know, because if you've ever worked with me or you've done small steppers, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about setting alarms on your phone to remember to do things for you that are to give you joy. It's a necessary component, in my opinion, of living well in the modern world. It is setting an alarm 20 minutes before you usually eat dinner that just says, take a few deep breaths. I mean, this is what it takes. You guys can fight me on it and you go, I'll remember. Next thing you know, you've plowed through a dinner that you didn't even think about. We're not even so quote unquote mindful at all. You burned through it and then you regretted it. So if setting an alarm removes regret and shame, guess what? I'm all freaking for it. And I use it for myself. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's what's happening there. Okay. So now look, I'm not going to, a little bit of a buzzkill, but I got to revisit this. I got to keep revisiting this. And this is, by the way, episode 46. Is that insane? I'm approaching 50 episodes of this new show. I remember hitting 50 of Approaching the Natural. I was like, oh my gosh, 50. And I'm already got almost 50 on this one. So kind of crazy stuff. So anyway, the subject matter of this this ain't the last time I'm going to revisit this freaking subject. Dig? So before I go any further with this subject, I have to be transparent enough to tell you that I did take a break to do the live Q&A, which was very good. Made myself some tea. I got to talk about that. And now I'm back. And so this is what's going to happen here. I'm going to talk about an article I read. And it's also a podcast, I guess, but I just read the article. I'm old school that way, okay? What I did is I printed it out first, then I bound it by hand, letterpressed it, bound it, and then I read it as a book. I'm that old school, because I appreciate that. And I'm like the Jane Austen kind of, that's my thing. That's my jam. Okay, so here's the article, and you're going to know quickly why I'm talking about revisiting a subject, but this is why. Okay, so this is the article, npr.org. I'll link to it in the show notes. Suicide rate for girls has been rising faster than for boys. Study finds. Journal of American Medical Association, by the way, is the study under that, that place. So here's the thing. I'm not going to focus on the fact that girls are rising more than boys. That's not relevant to the subject of this episode of podcast. Of course, it's relevant to the whole study. Of course, I don't want to get freaking blowback. This is not about that. So just freaking shut it. If you're getting all anxious about that part of the thing, that's not the thing. And just to be clear, by the way, that part is it's the rate is rising among girls faster than boys, but the overall number is still more in boys. I don't know why that is. It's, to me, irrelevant. Children. This is children. Got it? This is ages 10 to 14. Here's another shocking little statistic. The number one cause of death among ages 10 to 19 is suicide. The number one leading cause of death is suicide. That's insane. That is insane to me, and hopefully to everybody. But more on that in a minute. The everybody part of that is. So here's what I'm going to focus on in this frickin' article. The chief medical officer at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention tells NPR that while multiple factors are likely driving the increase, social media might be playing a major role. Ready for this? That's because she says I'm quoting from the article. She says the vast majority of children and adolescents are spending a lot of time plugged into their devices. And while social media can make them feel more connected to people in their lives, recent studies show doing so can hurt their mental health. Quote, heavy screen time, nighttime utilization of social media on devices that affects sleep. People who have anxiety, depression, or psychological vulnerabilities may have a more negative experience. How many more times is my question? How many more times is this going to come up? At what point do we really address this as parents? Do we really do what is necessary to fix our own lives so that we can actually have the strength to address this with our children, with society in general? I feel like the discussion, and I'm in this world, so I'm just telling you, like, about health and about, you know, diet and exercise. I feel like we're missing the most basic of conversations. The reason why I launched this new show to be sort of everything on the table instead of Approaching the Natural, which served its time for me then. And I definitely talked about a wide range of things then, but this is even more. I wouldn't have brought this kind of article up in that podcast. I don't know. Maybe I would have. I don't know. Neither here nor there. Right now, I feel like we are distracted from the most basic of conversations when the leading cause of death of children ages 10 to 19 in this country, United States, is freaking suicide. We are missing a conversation here, and we are simply deep in the social media world. I think I have a different perspective on this right now because I quit social media. And so I've had this sort of opportunity, I'll say, to sort of stand back and look at this and look at my own behavior as it was occurring and my own feelings around it as they were occurring. And I am just, I'm frankly flabbergasted. I mean, it blows my mind. I have kids, so definitely, and a 14-year-old, almost 15. So there's definitely that kind of thing. And I'll tell you what, it makes me happy that we have the limits that we have on my daughter is on Instagram only, no Facebook, no Twitter. It's a private account. We have to approve everybody that follows her. If that sounds a little militant and crazy, I'm going to take you on that because she has 30 minute tops per day, 30 minutes per day, period. She's barely on it. And she does post videos on YouTube. Somebody just commented today about my recent YouTube video because I talk about, you know, 6 months in with no social media, and he's been a long time listener, and he goes, yeah, but YouTube, social media. On one hand, I'm kind of conflicted about that. On the other hand, well, I'll tell you what this, I don't use it that way. I use it as a creative platform, like this podcast. I launch these podcasts, people can comment them just the way that I launched my YouTube videos and people can comment on them. To me, it does not, and I want to be sure in my own mind that I'm not just trying to justify this, but it does not seem to me to be the same experience social media wise as Instagram and Facebook, where it's like you're rechecking likes, and certainly I can do that with views on this with listening, you know, downloads on this podcast, with views on YouTube. As long as in my mind they are creative platforms for me to launch my work and communicate my approach to people, then I will continue doing them. I didn't feel like Facebook was doing that. It was an advertising platform more like. Same thing with Instagram. I felt like it was detracting from the experience of my life. I talked about it in a recent in the recent YouTube video where like I got to the point where I would like look at something and go, oh, that'd be make a good Instagram post. I love being free of that, liberated. I don't do that with YouTube. I shoot video, I post it. I don't go like, this would be, I mean, I can't like get through a day without posting something so simple to Instagram. I don't do that anymore. Again, I'm working through this on my own. You guys have your own deal, but this is serious shit. This I'm reading these articles and I'm like, this is now 15th time this is coming up. This isn't a one-off. This isn't some fringe, you know, theory. This is actually happening. Kids are having a hard time. They're not socializing in the true way of what socializing actually means. What's frustrating for me and why I wanted to talk about it in this week's episode is because I'm looking at this and I'm saying the answers, and by the way, as an aside, same thing with diet. Like it's the same, it is the same thing with diet. The answers are staring us in the face and we are looking away. It's like with diet, we go, the answers are, it's clear. Look, if you have you're more paleo and you're more vegan or what, but the general idea of how to eat healthy is understood by most. And if it's not understood by most, it's the information is so out there, it's very easy to get to. We want to split hairs with this or that, but the general idea of eating healthy is we pretty much got it. We all know that a donut's not healthy. We all know that whole grains are healthier than white flour. We all know that fruits and vegetables are. It's like, let's stop freaking talking about it because the answer is right there. And so we just want to look away. We don't even want to look at it. And so with social media, we don't want to accept the fact that the way it is being used right now is actually damaging to adults and especially to kids, obviously. It's damaging. I'm not telling people to quit it. I'm telling people that it needs to be limited. It's not all bad. There's some very cool things about social media. It's the way that we connect and we get information to a broad range of people in different cultures and we're sharing those kinds of things. I am all for that. But that's not what's happening for most people. It is an addictive medium. The companies that I've talked about before, like Facebook and therefore Instagram and Google, are manipulating us to keep us on their platforms more often. I'm not going to revisit this because I've just done a few episodes recently on this. So go back and listen to those. But we need to be mindful so that we're not being sucked into these platforms in a way that is damaging to us. That we are too deep into that, in the way that we can be too deep into junk food, let's say. We need to bring ourselves back out, and so we can use these things minimally like junk food, right? Think about this as junk. I talk about physical nutrition and mental nutrition. I talked about that in my first book, Approaching the Natural. This is junk mental nutrition. Social media, for the most part, is junk mental nutrition. Use it sparingly. Use it as a treat. Jump on there, connect with friends, make it positive. As soon as it gets negative and full of vitriol and you're arguing with somebody, it may be time for you to step away from it and take a break until you can re-engage with it in a way that is that is positive in your life. But when I read this article, it really hit me hard. I think it's because I have kids, but also just in general, as a member of this society, and this is where I'm kind of going to wrap this episode up by saying this. If you've heard me before and you've heard the last show and this show, you know that I am primarily about individual strength and identity. I am about people learning how to become strong in their own lives so they can live lives on their terms, so they can define themselves first by who they are and not by a label or a group. That's later down the line, but not off the table. And here's what I mean. I strive to think of myself just in terms of my own values and who I am. I want to be strong enough to live that way as much as possible. But I acknowledge and am happy to be part of a society and a family and all these kinds of things. The group parts of our species, which are we are tribal in our nature. So to understand that group dynamic, so while I'm about the individual part of it first and foremost, I do believe this, that in a society or family, and there's an agreement, spoken or unspoken, that needs to be made, that we are all in this together. I think I don't want to get lost in the sort of like individual kind of thing where we go, yeah, we'll screw everybody else, because that's not at all. I'm not isolationist. I am strengthened first so that we can assist the society, the dynamic, the tribal dynamic, whatever that is, family or broadened out into society or broadened out into world, by the way, so we can do better by that and make it a better place altogether. So I also believe that when part of our society is failing, we are all failing. I really believe that this to be true when the leading cause of death of kids aged 10 to 19 is suicide, we're failing that, because it doesn't matter that it's not my kids. It fully matters that it's anybody's kids, because that's not the kind of world I want to live in. It's certainly not the kind of country that I want to live in. I believe that the opportunity for success should be afforded to everyone. So if we are not having the conversation about why this is happening, and we're not having the conversation about family stability, if we're not having the conversation about making it a little bit easier on families so that parents can come home and be engaged with their families and not be freaking exhausted and having to struggle to pay healthcare costs and all these kinds of things, if we can provide a baseline existence that where security and safety are met, then we can enable the family dynamic to thrive, and that can then result in less isolationist the kind of isolationist mentality that is being experienced by kids who are on social media but not socializing. And short of those things happening, we are failing as a group. If we're not providing baseline existence, if we're not meeting those basic needs, if we're not providing opportunities for success, if we're acknowledging and being okay with part of us failing and we think that's okay because it's not us, if we don't make the agreement in our own minds as living in the society that we're all in it together and that we should all work to make society as good as we possibly can, then we're failing. We're failing as a group. We're failing as a society. We're failing as a family. And the reason why I called this episode the failed experiment is because the United States has been referred to as the grand experiment. It was a grand experiment because it was a country that was founded on ideas and independent of tyranny and religious, you know, control and all these kinds of things. And with all of its failings, it was still an experiment to say, what if we bring minds together and we fashion the rules and laws to allow people to thrive within this context? And so it was called the grand experiment. It was called the grand experiment. And yet I read statistics like this in this article about kids taking their own lives. And I think of all those things, I believe all that part of making society, I feel like this grand experiment is a failed one.
Traveled around this tree. Then I sickened myself clean. I just grazed the edge of what could have been. Then I'll stop asking. And I'll stop figuring. I'm over flooded, so hiding. Have you relived it all day? Have you faltered on the way? Have you squared away the days following you? You still carry us afraid to let the colors out of reach. Have you found a way to breathe amidst the smoke and choking wind against the ceaseless display? Unwavering. I'm still curious, not free.